Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing for this Christmas episode? Rodila said, says she was a clueless boomer, but adamant in believing what she did not know. And that's the kind of person running for president. She's the best we have. Pathetic. Yes, Marianne Williamson's appearance on Tim Pool was pathetic. And it made me realize that we're not just headed toward a crisis of competency. We're going to have people with low morals, low principles, capable of contradicting themselves from one sentence to the next. And this is presidential candidate level of intelligence. And so the whole of society will crumble, not just through the infrastructure and techniques and methods. It will also crumble from a moral perspective. Merry Christmas, Egalini. Happy Yule. Yule is a weird term. I never truly knew what it meant. But happy Yule, whatever that is. Beachmaster has sent $100 on Entropy. Thank you so much for the massive, generous support. He says, Merry Christmas. What do you think about family planning? I've seen some people say it's best to space children out since breathing immediately after pregnancy could be bad for the woman's body and her next baby. I'd also be interesting to hear about how you raise and educate your children, perhaps in an episode dedicated to it. Yeah, every year I do an episode about parenting, and I will certainly continue to do this. If you want to see my previous years, you're going to get my full parental philosophy. First year parenting, JFG Tonight 178. That's available on Odyssey. Back then I was on YouTube, I think. That's a long time ago. That's 1,000 episodes ago, almost. And second year parenting, JFG Tonight 395. You're going to get my view of parenting, especially during the early years. And I will be adding other guides also, definitely. Now, for your question regarding planning pregnancy. If you are with a woman who's 18 years old and you have all of the life ahead of you, you're not in an emergency. You don't need to pop out babies as quickly as physically possible. So what you can do is you can let the natural flow of breastfeeding. Breastfeeding will make her infertile, basically, for as long as she really does it. So basically, you have to keep in mind when you do the choice of breastfeeding, it's breastfeeding instead of having a supplementary baby. And there is a rationale for it. There is a trade-off. Breastfeeding is a quality nutrition, but with the quality of modern formula, I'm not sure that the breastfeeding is worth an entire human life. I'm not sure that that's just how better the nutrition is. So you have to make that decision. If your girl is 18 years old and you plan to have 10 babies and you know you're going to be with her up to 35 years old, you have plenty of time ahead of you. But if you started making babies at 26, you might want to go my grandmother's way, which is that because she had failed at having babies, the doctors had told her that she was infertile, that she would never get babies, but she was praying. And at 26, she started popping out babies, I think 26 or 27. So despite what the doctors had told her, she was continuing in revolt and believing that God would intervene. And she ended up starting at 26, she ended up having something like 11 children, 11 living children, and I think a couple of failed pregnancies. So when you are that late at 26, or if your girl is 30, 32, 33, then every possible pressure that you could put on stopping the breastfeeding early would be favorable, because then you are in the last few years of fertility, and if you want to have 2, 3, 4 babies, you're going to need to put all the chances on your side. So my recommendation would be, if you if you are with a girl that is more than 30 years old, you are on your last stretch, go for no breastfeeding at all, or breastfeeding for maximum 1 month, maybe 2 months. As far as the ruining of the female's body, I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that that is real. I've never seen evidence of that sort, that lining up pregnancies one after the other increases the odds. Every pregnancy, of course, is a hit on... It's an effort that the body has to deliver, and it does come with certain chances of injuries, like the ripping of the vaginal floor and the losing of the structure of the uterus, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like you're going to have these risks whether you space it out by 1 year or not. So the spacing out in and of itself, to me, is not that important. And especially in times where you are short on time, you should totally leave that to the side. Those are my opinions. Croy says, do you think it is necessary to prepare a first child for the arrival of a second baby? Depends on the age. If they are at the age where they can discuss, certainly, anyways, through the playing with toys and playing with baby dolls, you're already going to have, you know, especially if you have a girl as your first child, she's going to have been already habituated at the idea of caring, because she's going to have cared for her little baby dolls a lot. And so it's not going to be a big stretch to have her care about the coming child. If you're talking about children that are so young that they don't speak yet, or they just use a few words, you won't be able to prepare them from the perspective of talking with them. But you can prepare them by giving them baby dolls and showing care. And it's going to be a... Ultimately, there's going to be a biological trigger. Your big brother or big sister will immediately see the baby, be fascinated at them. So there's not much preparation. And the whole idea of keeping the babies outside of the process of delivery, personally, I'm against it. I am totally for young children seeing the birth of their little brother's little sister. They find this funny, they enjoy it, they are curious about it, and when they see the baby come out, they are laughing their ass off. They love it. So the whole idea of I need to find a babysitter to go deliver a baby, I don't think so. I think you are giving a good experience to your children if you allow them to see the delivery of a living infant. Go Away says, if you don't breastfeed your baby, they hate you for it later. My mom didn't breastfeed me. That's how I ended up in the JFG Tonight regular chat. Well, Go Away, that might be an exception, but not being breastfed is not a massive problem. The fact is, modern formula is very complete. Merry Christmas, everyone, says Justin Trudeau. I hope your holidays are filled with good cheer and great company. However you're celebrating, my family and I are sending you our warmest wishes. It's fascinating,
Merry Christmas.
This message, because it mixes trad cat talking points, like being very overt about, yes, it is the celebration of Jesus Christ, but then also mixing in trans LGBT talking points. It's kind of hilarious to listen to this message.
Christmas, Canada. 'Tis the season to gather with friends and family, to share moments and meals with loved ones, and to give thanks for the blessings in our lives. For Christians, it's also a time to celebrate the birth of Christ and the values he embodied, values like compassion, kindness, and hope. And while the story of Christ is being celebrated by Christians tonight, these values are universal.
Oh, a little hook to your Indian voting base.
The holiday season is an opportunity for us all to bring comfort, joy, and light to those who need it most. So let's love our neighbors as we love ourselves and find...
He's citing Jesus Christ, but at the same time, he's talking about non-Christians, and is going to drift toward the trends very soon.
Strength in our differences. Let's give back...
differences.
And extend a helping hand to those who've fallen on hard times. And let's share the warmth of the season with those who are spending the holidays alone this year. That's not just the true spirit of Christmas. It's also the true spirit of Canada. My friends, whether you're continuing family traditions passed on from one generation to the next.
So that is the heteros. Okay, so you're continuing family tradition. The penis to vagina baby making, or
embarking on new ones.
Or embarking on new ones. There you go, the little wink to the LGBT community.
Whether you're hosting a big family gathering or celebrating with a few close friends, I hope your holidays are filled with good cheer.
Of course, if you are celebrating with a few close friends, that's probably because you're engaged in anal sex, otherwise there would be babies coming out. DK Shadow says, universal, vote for me. Yeah, it's hard to manage a society like Canada. Be enjoyed by everyone, loved by enough people to become a prime minister. That is a tough task. I'm thankful for Mark Collette because he generated a video called The Death of the National Justice Party. And it's a very good informative video because I didn't have the heart to dig, because human conflict at that level, drama, organizational drama, it's like, to me, it's the default of humanity. And I don't find particular interest in digging these stories. So I'm happy that Mark Collette made a video, and it's a 20-minute explanation, and it allowed me to understand what went on with the National Justice Party. Basically, they had a couple of radicals that were in the party. And they were starting to complain that there were people in the party that didn't want to pass pamphlets, that didn't want to do live IRL events, that didn't want to do stuff on the street. And Mark Collette is saying, that's ridiculous. You know, if there's a part of your party that wants to do streaming only, let them. If there's a part of them that want to do private encounters, only let them. And I agree with Mark Collette here, especially if you're going to be in that kind of party that has an official line that can get you canceled on the professional market, then not everyone will be able to follow you in exposing themselves publicly. It's best ultimately that the NJP dies if it had been taken over by these sets of interests, that they always want you to be more radical, only for the purpose of what? To be self-canceled, to be self-destroying. The thing is, if you want a party, a political party that eventually has some sort of success, you're going to need to be opened at the various circumstances of people. And it's better to have someone who supports you with a card membership and does nothing in your party than have nothing. They're quite irrational. And sometimes it's just the feds, you know. It's the feds, they want you to be more radical because they won't have a job as long as you don't commit real life stuff. So sometimes the feds, they totally invade these parties. Marianne Williamson has made me realize that we are there. We are at the point where people can self-contradict publicly one sentence to the next just because of this issue of Derek Chauvin and race. It's so powerful that they are willing to just say the contrary of what they just said. And that is what I call the standards crisis. It's that we're not just having a competency crisis where people will not be able eventually to fly planes and build bridges in the way our ancestors could. But we're also going to have people with low morals, low principles, and absolutely no consistency. I mean, look at how Tim Pool destroys her. He traps her super well. Quite talented interviewer Tim Pool has become, it would seem. Because he catches her in a corner that she didn't expect at all. Beautiful performance by Tim Pool here.
I've never heard a judge say, I admit you couldn't get a fair trial here, but we're going ahead with the trial anyway.
So Tim Pool knows that there is a case of this, and it's happened recently. It is Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin, the judge said, I know you can't get a fair trial here, but you can't get a fair trial elsewhere either. So we're going to do it here. That is exactly what happened to Derek Chauvin. So she may not have realized there, but her absolute denial that this has ever happened here will not fall on deaf ears in Tim Pool.
And I don't agree with every judge, but that's just something.
And what do you think would be, like, let's say that hypothetically happened. And then-
now, Tim Pool is very talented here. He's not going to drop the Derek Chauvin word, the George Floyd, the Saint George Floyd is not going to be put on the table. He's going to say, hypothetically, suppose that. And so she doesn't know what she's getting into.
And there was someone who was being charged with a crime, and the judge said, they petitioned for a change of venue, and the judge says, there's nowhere you can go that will free you from the bias of this place, so we're doing it here anyway.
I don't.
You just presented the case of Derek Chauvin. And look, this is where it's important. Look at what she says.
I think that would be right. And somebody.
I don't think that would be right.
But it would be petitioning somebody.
Somebody would be petitioning somebody.
I mean, even in those cases, there is such a thing as judicial prejudice.
Even in those cases, there is such a thing as judicial prejudice. So what do we have here? Let's open up the woke pad. That wouldn't be right. Somebody would petition somebody, even in this case. There would be such a thing as prejudice, judicial prejudice. Okay.
Somebody would be arguing that there was judicial prejudice, and the case would not stop there.
The case would not stop there. Okay, so we have a pretty committed response here. That is simply not right. This hypothetical case raised by Tim Pool is absolutely not right.
What if the case did stop there? And the
What if the case did stop there? That's what happened with Derek Chauvin.
If the case did stop there, I'd be the first to say this is wrong.
Oh, and now we have a personal take from Marianne Williamson. I'd be the first to say, this is wrong. Wow. We have committed principles here. We have a highly principled person. Let's see if her principles can survive one sentence of uncovering what this case is truly.
So will you stand up in defense of Derek Chauvin?
Wow.
Wow. There's nothing that Tim Pool has just described that didn't happen in the case of Derek Chauvin. And Marianne Williamson knows it. She knows that. That's why she says, wow. You wouldn't say wow if Temple has said something totally beside the track or it's surprising. No, no. You just answered these things concerning Derek Chauvin. That would not be right. Somebody would need to petition somebody. Even in this case, there would be such a thing as prejudice. The case would not stop there, and I would be the first to say this is wrong. Well, here you are, Marianne Williamson. You are in front of a mic. It's your chance to be the first to say it's wrong. Let's see what she says.
Derek Chauvin, I understand. I know for a who change Derek Chauvin.
Are you?
I know. I've heard of this man. We know you know. You must know. And here you are shaking your head in your hands. Because you realize that something's got to give. You're either going to stand for Derek Chauvin on the public space, or you're going to abandon the principles that you just stated. We have them on the notepad. You just said you would be the first. You would be the first to say this is wrong. Go away says, who is this chick, by the way? She's a presidential candidate for the Democrats. You know, she's the rock lover, the person who loves rocks and magnetism, and she's kind of competing with Styx to be the mainstream representative in American life of Satanism and occultism. But she's also running to be the candidate on the side of the Democrats.
And the judge said, there's no venue you can go to where you'll be.
Look at her face. She's like a little squirrel that got caught, taking the nuts from some other squirrel's hiding. She is totally in headache mode. Are you telling me that everything you just listed happened in Derek Chauvin's case?
Said there's no venue you can go to where you'll be
She's like, okay, I want to listen to what you have to say, Tim, but I would like to hide my identity for the moment.
Free of any bias, so we do it here anyway. So is the issue,
wasn't there some legitimacy to that given
wasn't there some Well, there was no legitimacy to that. It would not be right. You would be the first to say this is wrong. This is the only answer where you remain consistent with your principles. To say, oh, well, suddenly, well, in the case of Derek Chauvin, wasn't there some legitimacy to that?
And the fact that everybody saw the video, so how could there be lack of prejudice anywhere?
Well, first, it's impossible that everybody saw the video. Secondly, people can have viewed various sources of the video, and the people who are locals may have viewed the video in a much more edited way and in a much more intentional way. They may have truly searched for the video. Whereas if you go in the random back of the woods, someone who doesn't have the internet in Alabama or whatever, they may not have seen the videos at all. And anyways, seeing the video is not the massive problem here. There was a feeling of community-based vengeance in the Derek Chauvin case. And that community-based vengeance showed itself in every expert in this trial being pressured by the community and visibly being pushed very strong to reach the conclusions they had reached, and coming with political preferences at the bar and having these political preferences to take side of the black population in this community vengeance trial. That is a problem that you could have easily solved by going to an outside place where there's no feeling that this is an event that traumatized the local community. There would be a lot beside the video that you could have saved in terms of fairness for Derek Chauvin. But see, no one can stand for Derek Chauvin other than Tim Pool and me, apparently. No one can stand for Derek Chauvin. Marianne Williamson drops him under the bus. The Supreme Court itself has dropped him under the bus.
Right.
So are you saying?
So the question is about the Constitution and what is fair in the court of law, and not what we want to have happened because of our feelings.
I don't think
if the issue is a judge says there will be no fair trial for you, my argument is then there's no trial at all. And the man should be released because that's a limitation of our democratic system.
That's what you're.
That is a basic principled stance that should be standard. You don't run a trial that you know will be unfair. If you can't run a trial, you can't prosecute. You cannot find guilty. The whole process of guilty on, innocent until proven guilty, the whole idea of it is that you have the burden of proof in a fair trial. If you cannot meet that burden because you can't even begin a fair trial, it is very, very common in the law to say, then you don't have a trial. Then you don't have an imprisonment. That's the whole idea behind canceling the results of trials. When you cancel the result of a trial as a Supreme Court or as an appeals court, you are undoing what was the burden, what was the prosecutorial burden, and therefore the man is automatically free. He doesn't have to come back and prove his innocence. An invalid trial is an absence of trial, and it's an absence of finding of guilt. Tim is completely right here, but look at Marianne Williamson.
Your argument would be?
Absolutely.
Okay, so and I totally disagree on that one.
We totally disagree. She totally disagree that you need to be able to run fair trials to put people in jail. I mean, that is not some back-of-the-woods lost person with no education. That's Marianne Williamson, a presidential candidate for the Democrat side. We totally disagree. She doesn't have this standard. She believes that emotionally driven local vengeance trials are perfectly fine as long as you can prove that it wouldn't have been fairer elsewhere. Can you believe do you realize how much deep in the shit we are? This is where we're headed. This is going to become common.
The court cannot grant a fair trial under the Constitution, then the court cannot imprison a person.
Yeah, well, you and I don't agree on that one.
So you
what is the legal principle that she's thinking of? The legal principle of I feel that something wrong has been committed, therefore someone should end up in jail, no matter if I can demonstrate a fair trial or not. I mean, she is totally beside the track, even by today's legal standards.
You think that people should be, the state should be allowed to imprison people even without due process?
I think that that was an overriding circumstance of the fact that the judge was correct.
She can't even say it. So she cuts her own sentence with the judge was correct. Well, the judge was correct on what? Does the judge have omniscience on every corner of America and knows that everyone in America has seen the video? Does the judge have omniscience on evaluating everyone in America to be equally pissed at Derek Chauvin for the death of George Floyd?
There were very few people in the United States who had not seen the video. That's all the judge was saying.
It's more than this. He was affirming that there would be an equal bias elsewhere. That is not just about the video. An equal bias elsewhere. Let me tell you, I know a couple of places where Derek Chauvin may not have even been prosecuted in America. So, of course, there wouldn't have been the same bias. There are places where the prosecutors would have himself escorted Derek Chauvin out of jail and said, sorry, sir, good job. Good job, sorry that the guy ended up dying, too bad.
It was saying, we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best in the way we interrogate people to make sure that they will be as non-prejudiced as possible. But the judge...
There is no such thing in the law as, oh, you're going to be prejudiced, but you're going to be the least prejudiced possible. There's no such thing. You're violating due process on a single, on a sentence by sentence basis here, Miss Williamson. You have absolutely no principle. You have self-contradicted. This is Marianne Williamson. Within a minute after she had said, I'd be the first to say this is wrong. But the minute she heard the word Derek Chauvin, suddenly her whole brain was reverted. Suddenly what was wrong became right, and what was right became wrong. That is a problem. We have shifters out there. We have shifters who are shifty. They are willing to shift their opinion based on the circumstance because they know it's not going to sound good enough. Well, those are not principled people, and they should never end up president in an ideal world. But here we are. Lendal Guntram says, another fundamental principle in Western law and jurisprudence is called in dubio pro reo. Learn about it, girl. So is that in doubt something? In doubt, in dubio pro reo means that a defendant may not be convicted by the court when doubts about their guilt remain. Okay, so in doubt, do not find guilty. Going down the rabbit hole of how COVID made the flu disappear, Viva Frey has a good rundown on going back to a question of, yeah, the full disappearance of the flu and how the flu totally disappeared. Totally disappeared at during the COVID pandemic. And at the end of his video, he had a quote that I find very interesting in the context of Marianne Williamson. The first sign of corruption in a society that is still alive is that the end justifies the means. I believe that what's happening in Marianne Williamson's head, first, she stated a position on principle. And then the Derek Chauvin word was dropped on the table. And then when she was like this, she was looking for how do I reach the end? The end being, I must find a way for Derek Chauvin case to not be a case where my principles applied. I must use whatever means is available to justify the Derek Chauvin difference of treatment. And that's what she's done. And it is something that was quoted by George Bernanos. I don't know who that is. But he said that this is the first sign of corruption of a dying society. The Lincoln Project as a nod against Trump. So the Lincoln Project as an ad against Trump, and it is basically, to me, it's an ad for Trump. Like, if we can get a Trump fully on a path of vengeance, I think that has more chance. That has more chance to work for me than a Trump that goes happy to the presidency. But they say, since the beginning, you've known it, we've known it, and the country has known it. If Donald Trump rises to power, he will leave death, destruction, and chaos in his wake. It's time to wake up and fight back America. Wait a minute. I may be interested in this. Leaving chaos in his wake? I'd like to hear more about this presidential candidate.
7 years ago, Donald Trump took the presidency. Pundits, allies, and adversaries tried to believe he'd be a normal president, a normal Republican, and that the good guys would steer him right. They were wrong then.
Well, thank God.
They're wrong now. His legacy was chaos, hate, violence, and corruption, counted in a grim tally of deaths, 500,000 graves.
The COVID deaths. The COVID graves. Oh my God. is that lettuce I'm seeing? That looks like lettuce to me.
Graves, a wrecked economy, massive spending and debt. Trump shamed us to the world, shattering alliances and fawning for every small-time dictator and full-time thug. He made America weaker, poorer, and less secure. Defeated, he drove a shameful assault on our democracy. He's back and more dangerous than...
My God, this could be Trump's ad. I'm totally into this.
...before. Stop pretending that this is just a campaign, that his threats are a joke, just more locker room talk, that a Republican can beat him, or Joe Biden won't run. Wake up. Grow up. Get in the fight. If he wins, his plans are clear and terrifying. He's promised.
The Charlottesville Tiki Torch March.
To take revenge on us, on the country.
Oh my God, there was even the Charlottesville car ramming into the crowd, killing one person. Oh my God.
Tree that rejected him. It's a risk we can't take. That's why this election is about one thing. It's America or Trump.
Wow. I mean, keep it up, Lincoln Project. I'm enthusiastic about all this. I think that the Lincoln Project, it's always weird, and you always wonder, are they kind of secret agents that are here to meme? Like, at some point, they were caught being pedos. There were pedos in there. Like, are they there to truly tarnish Donald Trump and the Republicans? Or are they kind of a counter psyop of some kind, which ultimately seeks to advantage Trump? I don't think we'll ever know. But their contribution is always out there. And bizarrely... establishment based. Dino Lugovich says, turn it off, Jeff. It's scaring the children. There was nothing scary in that ad. No, I don't think it was scary for children. There's some excitement going on about Iran. Mario Nafal is saying, unconfirmed, I'm getting reports of an Iranian missile fired towards Mount Hermon in the Golan Heights. If true, and that's a big if, this would be an extremely serious and concerning escalation. This would be the first time Iran has directly fired at Israeli territory. Mount Hermon and the Golan Heights is disputed territory. The sources for this news are Iranian Telegram groups as well as Amir Tsarfati Telegram. Amir is a former IDF major, an Israeli author, and president of Behold Israel. The thing with Iran is there's always lots of noise around it, but Iran never really does anything really spectacular in terms of strikes. I've been through too many news cycles where people are like, oh, Iran is getting excited. Iran is getting hot. It's going to blow up. And nothing happens. So I'm going to be following this from a distance and knowing that Iran, half of the time, they are bullshitting, and the other half, they're sending cheap missiles that are not hitting targets, that are not serious. I'm constantly disappointed by Iran. It's like it's been framed as the center of the axis of evil. And it's like, you know, as a man who likes movies about villains and, you know, the underdog winning, I'd like Iran to be a little more evil than what they currently are. It's like, bro, you're really bad at being evil, Iran. Anyways, maybe there will be some geopolitical consequences in the area, but it looks like a single missile, and who knows if it's truly from Iran. All of this stems from the killing of an Iranian senior military officer who was in Syria. So they were probably part of this whole area of Syria that is kind of sending some missiles toward Israel. And he got targeted by a Israeli airstrike and got killed. So the Iranian regime has responded to this by saying Israel will pay for this. But the Iranian regime always says this. The Americans will pay for this. The bases in Iraq will be bombarded. Death to America. And I've never seen anything amazing coming from Iran. Real Based Talk says, I'm disappointed too. Why don't the Arab states just do what they need to? Then the problem is gone. Yeah, it is fascinating how little support there is here for a humanitarian situation that is very clear. Like, it's very clear that the Palestinians are getting genocided right now. And to see countries like Egypt and all the Arab nations around Israel to be kind of passive about it, to sometimes make a small declaration, but just in words, it makes you realize that the whole Arab world, they can be united for a purpose at some point, but that's a point in the future. As far as the state of affairs as it stands and as it's always been, ultimately the Arabs are specialists into fucking up each other to dominate their own territory, you know? That's why you have a mentality of conquest and warring between tribes and various tribes of Islam. It's ultimately that when you are in competition with yourself like this so much in a struggle for existence, there's not necessarily time for a great union, a great alliance of the Arab world. And that great alliance has never truly happened. Although it can be something that some leaders may have referred to, like Osama bin Laden, you could kind of think of him as heading some form of this. Really, there's no solidarity. There's no solidarity between the Arabs. Lendal Guntram says, that is why they got taken over by the super-aggressive Ottomans. Okay, I don't know much about this this segment of history. I guess I would have to consult this. Lendal Guntram says, Osama, the CIA asset. Yes. Yes, it's perhaps not a surprise that the two massive events, the two most glaring examples of what I just said being false, the two glaring examples of a union of the Arab world is Osama bin Laden, you know, with homegrown terrorism reaching down to, you know, extremism and Western civilization, kind of uniting them all with respect to the Palestinian cause and other Arab causes. And a second example is the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring, this revolution of the Arab world that somehow was pushed very strongly by the Facebook and Twitter of this world, somehow was leading to lots of enthusiasm in America, somehow was totally playing in the hands of Israeli interest by destabilizing authoritarian power in these nations. Perhaps there is a psyop effort on the CIA side to kind of create that layer of Arab unity for so that they can manipulate it better. That's perhaps a case. DK Shadow says, taught and supported by the CIA. Yes, so it's possible that the Arab world, on its natural state, does not converge toward unity, but that the Western powers and their psyops, they tend to want to add that layer to add that layer to better control the Arab world. That's an interesting hypothesis. Tonight in Tel Aviv, police attacked Israeli activists who held a sign reading, "Stop the genocide in Gaza." So, you know, the light of the world, Israel, the only democracy, the only place of free speech in the entirety of the Middle East. That is how they sell it to us. But look, you can't even say on the street that there is a genocide going on in Gaza. So, you know, the Jews are doing that so much, controlling who has the right to say whether or not there is a genocide that has happened. They do that on both sides. They make it illegal for you to deny certain genocides, and then they make it illegal for you to say that they're committing a genocide. It's like, bro, calm down. Let people express their views. I'm fascinated because just as I was watching the video, is that Mama JF? She looks like Mama JF. Is Mama JF in Israel currently protesting? Mama JF used to wear this this kind of head cover that was covering her hair during the rain when she was outside. She has the curly hair of a Mama JF. I'm trying to get a timestamp where we could see her better. It's very hard because it's very blurry. I think we won't get to know if this is Mama JF because the video quality is too low, but maybe, who knows? A spokesperson for Meta has confirmed to me that Sean King's suspension is permanent. Sean King banned from Instagram. The account was disabled due to multiple instances of praise for designated entities in violation of our policies. Recently, King had been praising and thanking Ansar Allah from the Houthi. Sorry, this page isn't available. The end of Sean King. Sean King is this guy who's white, but he's making all efforts to look like a black guy. What a fascinating guy. And this guy, at some point, Cenk Uygur was all excited that we're going to get Sean King on the show. This is amazing. And Cenk Uygur was like fawning over him. So he's a kind of a celebrity on the left. And he's always been on the border of advocacy of violence. He's always been, dog whistling violence on the left. Most of the time, for pro-black, pro-BLM stuff, or even pro-terrorism. So a very much anti-power, anti-establishment guy, but on the left. And what a fascinating guy. So now he got caught because he was praising too much the violence, I guess, on the side of the opposition to Israel. So we're seeing the anti-war leftist starting to be censored. This is something that Ryan Dawson was predicting 4 years ago. The anti-war leftists will become the main target of censorship, and I think we're there now because the Israeli war is the new hot content that the YouTubes of this world, the Meta of this world, will want to censor on. Total Kermit Domination sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, what is your favorite current US-friendly BTC on-ramp? What is your basis of trust for on-ramps? P.S. That was definitely Mama JF. Okay, so we have a confirmation from Total Kermit Domination. Mama JF alive in Israel. But she is part of the revolution against the acts of war, so who knows for how long they will let her live. What is your favorite current US-friendly BTC? Well, it's hard for me because I don't have the experience of using much Rampin in the US because I'm in Canada, so I don't get the chance to try them. I can tell you that crypto.com always works. Crypto.com works. It's a little bit too high price of it, too high fees. But I've tested it just to see that it was working, and it works. Most of the time, you're going to get a better option than this. I don't know. You should definitely check Coinbase, that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, I don't have direct experience with the American market because I'm not in the US. So I would go for the big names, Coinbase, crypto.com. What is the basis of my trust for on-ramps? Well, it needs to be a recognized name. Like, you don't want to head toward dark web alternative stuff that no one else has tried. You want something that a lot of people before you have tried and it has worked. That's the first criteria. The second criteria is the fees. You want the fees to be as low as possible. People are raising Swan Bitcoin. I don't know about Swan Bitcoin, so perhaps. And then the withdrawability is important. You don't want to trust these exchanges anyways to keep your Bitcoin. So it's all about whether you can pass money into them but get the Bitcoin out. As long as they allow withdrawal and fair amounts of withdrawal, like as long as they don't block withdrawals saying, oh, you have to pass this verification step, blah, 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 that is a good exchange. A good exchange will allow you to withdraw to an independent wallet that you control. Defenestrator says, Swan Bitcoin has no withdrawal fees. Okay, you might want to try and research. Personally, I don't know about it. DK Shadow says, use Coinbase to buy and sell. Use crypto.com for ATM withdrawal. Okay, yes, with crypto.com, you can get the credit/debit card that works on Bitcoin. So that's a good tool to have. I personally got it, but I'm not using it. But I just tried it, tested it, and it works. And it's one more way in which you want to, because you want to have many options to go out when you want to go out. So that's just one more option. As people are unwrapping their gifts at Christmas, we have a representation of what's happening in most families in America. Dad is standing around with the trash bag ready to collect while the kids are just having fun unwrapping their Christmas gift. I love the representation of the faces here. It's exactly what's going on. The kid is all naive, just wanting to open the gifts. And the dad is like, bring me that wrap. Don't put it on the floor. Put it directly in the bag. Stone Cold Steve Austin, what a great wrestler he was. A Vancouver hospital offered medical assistance in dying to suicidal 37-year-old woman who was told it would take too long to see a psychiatrist. Catherine Mentler sought help for depression and suicidal thought, so she was offered the full service by the Canadian government. And you know, a lot of people on the right wing are laughing about Canada, about this. and are taking issue with this. Personally, I don't take massive issue. I think that it's great that there's an option for people who have no hope in life to be able to die in a way that doesn't cause any persecution of their surrounding, that lets them die, basically. Lets them die as they wished. Official statement from Iran: the Israeli regime will pay for the crime of killing our military commander, Sayed Razi Mousavi. Yeah, but they've said this many times, and very often you have absolutely untargeted salvos of missile just sent at random, not hitting anything. It's fascinating how bad Iran is at war. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, "Hey, Jeff, a white Trump supporter, co-worker of mine, who quotes MLK Jr. saying, 'Dems are the real racist.'" Okay, so he's a Trump supporter who says MLK Jr. stuff, like Dems are the real racist, is okay with civilian deaths in Gaza since most of them are bad. I asked if, because blacks have a high crime rate, if it's okay that police kill them. He said, "Of course not. I have no hope for the right." Yeah, well, you caught him. You caught him in my classical argument of, am I entitled to throw a nuclear bomb onto Chicago if I want to go there to buy a gyros? Because arguably, without the cleaning of a nuclear bomb, I subject myself to way too much risk of homicide by just walking into there and going to buy a gyros. You caught him, and as I planned this argument, I knew it was a good one. So you totally got him, but that won't necessarily change him. He's not necessarily suddenly becoming rational because you cornered him. Five things you can do this Christmas to make the Marxist miserable. Mele Kalimika is the thing to say. This one is simple and, yes, devastating. Say Merry Christmas. This is kryptonite to the simpering, pink-haired, troglodyte narcissist. Okay, so Merry Christmas is the word. Unvaccinated Christmas parties, when sending invitation, be sure to mention something like, "Warning, my family is unvaccinated, but in the spirit of Yuletide inclusivity, those who have blindly chosen to bend their knees and raise their sleeves for an experimental clutch shot because Rachel Maddow told you to do so will be welcome." That is the kind of invitation card I would like to send. Meat is tasty, so no vegan meals at Christmas. You can use festive lighting to waste electricity. And you can also theme your night into "Make Christmas Great Again." Okay, pretty basic advice here. Biden's weaponized government attacks against Elon Musk is tyranny. Yes, I agree. There is currently massive scrutiny against Elon Musk, and it's not for the right reason. It's not just. They are just trying to throw the book at Elon because he did something for free speech. We have here, well, the Arabs are claiming a takeover of Paris. Here he's bragging, "We have managed to take over Paris even faster than the German army. It took us just 3 hours. It took them 24 hours.
Regarde, filme tout autour de toi. Il y a des Algériens, il y a des Tunisiens, il y a des Marocains, il y a des Sénégalais, il y a ce que tu veux. Marine, on est là, ma gueule. On a fait plus vite que les Allemands, on a pris Paris en 3 heures. Les Allemands, ils l'ont pris en 24 heures. Regarde,
filme. Well, yes. You haven't taken Paris militarily. You've taken Paris by breeding and by just standing there, but It's not the same thing as the German army entering Paris. We have a massive caravan of migrants invading the U.S. border. So apparently this is an ongoing group of migrants. Oh my God, look at how many of them. They're coming to the U.S. Well, this looks more like a protest. Is it? And Wokeness was saying this massive caravan is currently on its way to invading the U.S. border. So now they organize caravans in which there are slogans and they are holding cardboards with messages on them. That's weird. Crack removed from Christmas crackers to save the planet. There was crack in Christmas crackers. The crack from Christmas crackers is being removed for environmental reasons and to turn Christmas into a celebration of responsibility, defeating the entire purpose of putting one in the first place. We have removed the snap from this cracker to ensure it is completely recyclable. Part of our journey to make everything Christmas a celebration of responsibility. Also, I have no idea. What is this? That is a cracker. Okay, so what's the principle of a cracker? Can someone explain to me on the regular chat? You crack this and what? Is this, is there a gift in there? Or is that, I thought they were talking about the crackers that you would eat. but I don't know. It seems that this object is referred to as a cracker. Joyless eco-mentalist, committed in their mission to eliminate all fun, have lobbied for the introduction of crackless crackers. It makes a noise and a gift falls out. Okay, so it's a small pinada. Saturn Shines describes it as a small pinada. Okay, so it's like, yay! And things pop out and it goes pop, gunpowder, and only one person wins the gift. There's gunpowder in this thing. You guys were putting gunpowder. Holy shit. You guys are taking this to a totally different level. You're putting gunpowder in your stuff. Tucker Carlson has published a very interesting interview with a fictitious character. The fictitious character of Kevin Spacey. Where he plays the dirty politician. I found it hilarious, and it reminded me of this Christmas message that Kevin Spacey had been doing with this character many years ago when he was accused, when people were starting to believe that he was killing all of these young men that were bringing him in court because there were lots of people starting to claim that he had sexually assaulted them, young men, and they all started dying. And he had done this hilarious YouTube video about putting himself kind of as a suspicious and dirty figure that maybe could have killed them. That was hilarious, and I was happy that Tucker was bringing back the tradition, but with nothing else than what looks like a true Tucker interview. But it's really comedy. Tesla will suspend drivers for autopilot abuse and new software update. So they will... basically... detect if they have been too careless. They will detect autopilot suspension. For maximum safety and accountability, use of autopilot features will be suspended if improper usage is detected. Improper usage is when you or another driver of your vehicle receive 5 forced autopilot disengagements. A disengagement is when the autopilot system disengages for the remainder of a trip after the driver receives several audio and visual warnings for inattentiveness. Okay, so you, let's say you are inattentive, the system tells you, beep, 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 JF, pay attention. Now you're still inattentive, beep, 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 beep. If it does that repeatedly, then one disengagement. And if you do 5 trips like this, where 5 times you had to be, 5 different trips you had to be punished to not get the autopilot for the rest of the drive, then you're going to be disabled. You're going to lose the autopilot forever. Interesting. I think it's way too central. It's way too centrally controlled. Because the idea that you buy a car, the car needs to be independent. You know, you really own something when you control it in full. And to me, you'll never own these cars that have central updates and central abilities to knock down the car, to just stop it on its track. That's not ownership to me. All right, we are headed toward the end of the show. Harvard faculty appeal to the university's board to address its growing number of crises. Apparently, Steven Pinker, alongside other faculty, have been meeting up to discuss the rise of anti-Semitism at Harvard and the handling of the Claudine Gay plagiarism stuff. And they have asked for better direction from the board. Look, the faculty is probably going to be very highly Jewish. They're probably going to ask for pressures toward the board in line with their Jewish identity, in line with Israeli interest. Harvard is going to shit as far as I'm concerned, just like the rest of academia. And finally, as a last news item, unrest in Serbia continues. Thousands of people gathered near the Central Election Commission in Belgrade. So there's a party that won, that is a party of socialism, and it has declared victory at least. But there is a revolt of the population that considers that the elections were stolen. There are lots of observers who have observed violation, irregularities in the electoral process. So they're having their January 6th moment of some sort. I'm happy that I didn't end up living in Serbia, because back in the days where me and Mama Jeff were looking for real estate that was cheap, my attention was driven towards Serbia. It's like, oh yeah, Google, tell me wherever is the cheapest real estate. JF, are you sure you want to know? Yes, I want to know. Well, there's Bulgaria and there's Serbia. Okay, let's see if I can move to Serbia. And I ended up being spared the bullet, because doing research on Serbia became clear to me that it was a little too unstable, a little too, too much friction and too much corruption in general. So I ended up not living in Serbia and finding cheap real estate instead in Canada. But I absolutely wanted to be able to buy the real estate cash. I didn't want to have a bank loan. I didn't want to be dependent on anyone. I wanted a place where we can live and we can pay in a single shot. So I almost ended up living in Serbia. Spindly Opinion says the Baltics are a better option than the Balkans. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Thank you.